Sum of Life, or Youth of UFO Contactee, Elena Danon. Opening remark. To grasp the content of this, you must read or have a deep look into the book she wrote on her experience, Before You, named Alien Races, and A Gift from the Stars. Hear then from that book, and chapter. My story. Introduction. Time has come for me to speak. I cannot keep this to myself anymore, I need to share this with the world. This is my story, true and terrifying, but also breathtakingly beautiful. This is a story of our times, these changing times, switching point for humanity. It is the last chance to step into the light. History is in the making as I am typing these words. The future is being created in this particular moment, by all of us. This book is dedicated primarily to all those who went through the ordeal of being abducted by aliens, and seek to understand the motivations and agendas of all these mysterious beings operating in the shadows. This book is composed of three parts. Firstly, the testimony of my abduction sets the background for the material disclosed further on. The second part describes the different alien races visiting Earth, illustrated by myself, and the third compiles messages from extraterrestrial beings. I was born in Marseille, France, and live now on the west coast of Ireland. I am an archaeologist and I spent 8 years of my life working in Egypt. But I am also a druidess, shaman and healer, as well as an artist and a musician. Although I was always aware of my psychic abilities, I nonetheless also possess the scientific background, as an engineer working many years for the French Institute of Sciences, CNRS, that always helped me keep my feet on the ground. I always chose to only believe in my personal experience, and never take for granted any suggested beliefs. Although I was brought up in a religious background, I became an atheist at the age of 10 as soon as I realized everything could be explained by science. Dogmatic systems were not my cup of tea. Since an early age, I strongly understood that no one should tell me what to think or what to believe. I always had a curious and open mind, but could not be easily fooled. All is about finding the right balance between rationality and open-mindedness. I was abducted by grey aliens at the age of 9. In the process, I was rescued by another alien ship, composed of a crew from different worlds, and some of these benevolent beings have been protecting me since that time. I decided, in December 2019, to try quantum hypnosis in the hope that I could regain all the missing parts of my memory. During the session, I was able to remember the missing details, and this is how the idea of this book came into manifestation. It always takes great courage to speak. You open your heart and put yourself into a vulnerable position. So when we face sarcasm and incredulity, it hurts. It hurts like an arrow shot through the heart. Only you know it's true. You know you've lived this, because your mind remembers, your body remembers, and you just know. I want other people who have suffered from being abducted to know that they are not alone, that they can find support and share their experience via groups on social media, with those who have also been through this. They can also seek the help of hypnotherapists, experienced in this matter. We are not alone. There are benevolent aliens tirelessly looking after us, rescuing people, fighting for our protection, working at dismantling the agendas of the Dark Ones. The mentality around paranormal experiences in this last decade has evolved, as people become more open to divulging their experiences because of social media and the ability to film and post easily from cell phones. Information is instantly accessible now, shared from all over the planet. The word paranormal, even, seems to be progressively refined to fit within the new concept of normality. Judgmentalism loses its grip while the very notion of normality loosens its boundaries, while we shift into a new paradigm of reality. Nothing really shocks us anymore. Now is the moment that we step into the light and speak out. As we discover that the number of abductees is in fact insanely huge, we do not fear anymore. Fear is being replaced by anger and frustration. This despicable activity was always significant, but the difference is that now, we possess the tools and the power to express ourselves. More and more people dare to speak out, and the number of testimonies increases exponentially as fear drops. The men in black can't keep up anymore. Most alien abductions are an excruciating experience, which lingers in the memory as ghostly figures all your life. I have been living in fear for too many years, carrying sequels of a deeply repressed trauma. Terrifying memories and profound denials blocked many aspects in my life, and I could not speak about it for different reasons. Mostly because of my own denial in order to keep my sanity, by instinct of survival in a narrow-minded and judgmental society. I tried hard to convince myself that this never happened to me. Sure, it was too unbearable if it did. I even tried to block in my mind medical and physical evidence, including physical contact with extraterrestrials. Even though, covering your eyes with your hand, does not make the monster disappear. It is still here, hidden in the shadows, under your bed, behind the curtains, at the end of a dark corridor. And one day, you just need to turn back and face it. As alien abductees, we are being robbed from parts of our memory, of our lives. They come in the night to steal our most intimate property, to violate our rights one by one. They use us as genetic guinea pigs, stealing our reproductive material and fluids, marking us like cattle, implanting us with trackers and leaving us shaking with cold in the morning, with the awful feeling of having been raped, in our body and in the very core of our soul. They take our children for unspeakable purposes, never to be returned. And our governments, who are supposed to protect civilians, cooperate by providing underground facilities and participating in the most ignominious of all trades. This is enough. This is enough. Remembering. As far as I can remember, I was able to see entities and ghosts, have insights, visions, hear what others could not. I had inherited these talents from my maternal grandmother, also a gifted spirit medium. Instead of bringing excitement in my life, these gifts made me a solitary child. As soon as I tried to tell my schoolmates about these special abilities, I was mocked and bullied. This helped me understand I was different from the other children. I recall spending entire nights staring at the sky until exhaustion came, drawn to the Orion belt like a magnet and also, the Pleiades. Ah, the Pleiades. I always felt a deep, unexplained nostalgia in my heart and soul each time I watched this star cluster above my head. So far and mysteriously so near at the same time. There was something about it that fascinated me, hypnotized me and nearly obsessed me, like a link beyond the distance of space. Why? Why did I want to be there? Why was I convinced that someone, out there, in this small shimmering celestial chariot, was thinking of me? Before she left this plane of existence, my grandmother told me something I had forgotten, or simply denied. She said that for years she could hear me in my bed at night as a child, and as a teenager, talking low, praying with despair. She knew my window was open because of the air draft under the door. She said I kept repeating constantly, gave me the chills, every single night, "Come, come back please, and take me with you to the stars. Why aren't you responding? I miss you. Please come back, take me home." These dreams, so vivid, so real, always occurring with the same beings, in particular, a tall blonde man in a shimmering blue suit, with strange blue eyes who were slightly wider than normal and always, trying to communicate with me. He was so beautiful and radiant with so much love. For years I believed he was an angel. He had been in the background of my life since I was a child and seemed to look after me with great care. I always felt drawn to this strange and beautiful man, whom I knew wasn't from this world. And, at the same time, I was having traumatic memories involving medical instruments and terrifying gray creatures with huge dark glassy eyes. Yes, I remembered them too. Brief resurgences in the core of a nightmare, or even, when laying in a dentist's reclining chair, irrationally torn by terror when the speedometer would switch on. The noise and the shape of the instruments would echo in my brain, signaling the alarm for danger, harm and pain, And the only way my subconscious would allow me to let the dentist perform his task was by convincing myself that I wouldn't get hurt, and to do so, my body remembered to cross my legs tightly and lock my ankles so that nothing could get in between. In this position only, I could trust. This wasn't normal, and I certainly had no reason to associate the dentist's drill to locking my legs tightly. As the shrieking, rotating spike approached my face, the brutal vision of frightening creatures holding similar surgical tools were clawing back at me. But even though these memories were wiped out, the nervous system remembers, particularly when it comes to protect the baby from a signal of danger or pain. My earliest memory related to alien abductions goes back to when I was a toddler. One evening, as my grandmother was reading bedtime stories to me, I was struck by the vision of a little gray man with a large bald head and big black eyes coming out of the wall behind her. As I burst in tears, he disappeared bearing a strange apologetic expression. Later on that night, when everyone was asleep, I woke up seized by terror when my body was lifted in the air by an invisible force. I was terrified, floating above the bed, not able to form a single sound in my throat, my little body all numb and paralyzed. Then, there was a flash of blinding light bursting in the room, and the next thing, I knew it was the morning. I was falling backwards into the bed, and I heard my grandmother climbing the stairs at the sound of my cries. There was so much time missing. What had happened between the moment I lifted in the air above my little bed and the moment I was back in the morning? This was absolutely terrifying. At the time, I wasn't able to express myself with words yet, and this unfortunate experience fell into the limbos of oblivious denial. All my life I kept a record of my experiences in a notebook, accompanied with drawings. Recently, I also found my child health book. In these days, nothing was computerized yet, thanks to that. It contains handwritten notes and is stamped by the family doctor on the precise date of this next memory of abduction. This was the big one, the mysterious trauma that tipped my life into a new dimension. June 1979, I was 9 years old. My granny, my younger sister and I, we were looking at the moon through the window in my bedroom when we were surprised by the vision of a UFO floating above the adjacent building's roofs, coming very close to us. Its shape was discoidal with a slight bump underneath and a dome above, and it was glowing a very bright orange. Unable to explain why, we had this strong feeling it was staring at us. I found it incredibly beautiful and mesmerizing, although I had no clue of what it was. My grandmother explained to me that it was a ship from another world, coming from somewhere else very far away, up there, in the stars. This was a concept new to me at this very young age, and I was truly astonished. My grandmother told me that when she was a young woman, she saw one of these coming down from the sky. She said a whirling wind rose and she was blinded by a bright beam of light coming down from the ship. It had the same shape as that one, but not glowing orange. It was rather metallic with visible windows. In her next memory, she was laying down on the ground, thinking she had a fit and fainted. She never dared to speak about it to anyone. $0 obviously, I wasn't the first in the family, and here we are, staring and being stared at by this ship. It was truly fascinating. It suddenly changed color, glowing brighter to nearly white, then quickly downgraded back to yellow, orange, dark red. My granny said, "Oh, look, it is changing color because it is going to go now." And she was right. It suddenly rocketed in a brutal zigzag and disappeared out of thin air. The following day in the local newspapers, there was an article about UFO sightings in the area. Through my recent researches, I discovered that the area was indeed massively subject to UFO sightings for a long time. But the story for me doesn't stop here. This was just the beginning. I woke up that following morning with a huge pain in my belly and the sensation of a wet bed. I pulled off the sheet and screamed with horror. There was blood everywhere in the bed and it was coming from my belly. I got up, shaking and sobbing. I found my mother in the bathroom and she lost the colors on her face when she saw me, legs covered with my blood. I burst into tears, crying out loud that I was going to die. I was 9, nobody had anticipated telling me about periods, which was the only rational explanation. My Franny was crying in a corner of the kitchen, shaking, her face in her hands. Why? Did she know something? Was she remembering things she had been through herself as well, something hidden deep under unspeakable memories? The family doctor arrived, and I remember this image of him examining my wrists with perplexity. Inside of each was a purple triangle composed of tiny dots, like fresh marks of needles. He examined them quite a long time and concluded it was probably rubella. This diagnostic is handwritten in my health book with a question mark. I still remember his puzzled look and my mother waiting, impatient, for an answer. Any answer would do, so he gave this one, rubella, because the vaginal bleeding continued. I was hospitalized for 2 months, during which my period was provoked prematurely. I can remember screaming like a slaughtered pig each time medics would touch me. This is the time when my terror for dentists started, as well as the mysterious headaches generated from a tiny precise spot in my skull. I went through months of medical tests and scans without success. I could clearly feel something had been inserted in my skull, but nothing was showing up on the results and x-rays. It was baffling all the specialists. This spot has been sore all my life. Still to this day I can't comb my hair on it. I know now it is where my alien implant is. I had another experience during that same year, after I was back from the hospital and my health started to recover. This new experience was of a different, strange nature. One night, I woke up with the sharp sensation of a presence in the room and an unknown, slightly audible buzz in the air. Suddenly, a bright blue beam of light poured from the ceiling and I found myself lifted above my body in a clear blue light. I was floating through the structure of the building, towards the cloudy night sky. What was disturbing was that I was conscious that my physical body was still on my bed. Down below on the ground, I could see myself as translucent during this journey. How intriguing and disturbing at the same time, to observe that my body was luminous on its edges and slightly translucent, but physical when I squeezed my own arm. I couldn't feel anything under my feet, as it seemed I was just walking on the clouds under a magnificent starry sky. I couldn't feel any air coming into my lungs although I was breathing, and I could feel my long hair was brushed by a gentle breeze. And all was so silent, it was a weird silence, like if I had cotton in my ears. The vision ahead of me struck me with astonishment, but no fear. A metallic discoidal spaceship was there. A tall man, dressed in white clothes, appeared in front of me as he came down the ramp of the ship. He was magnificent, and at the time I thought he was an angel, despite he had no wings. His skin was pale, he had blonde wavy hair, and his eyes were blue and wider than normal, with a strange metallic spark. From his presence emanated a profound feeling of protection, as if I knew by instinct that in his proximity, I was safe, and nothing bad could happen to me. He felt to me uncannily familiar, although it seemed I was meeting him for the first time. He smiled with a beautiful and graceful gentleness, and said I needed to live for a determined time on Earth in order to fulfill a mission. After he spoke these mysterious words, he invited me to the edge of the clouds, where I could see my hometown from above. This vision freaked me out. I grabbed his waist and cried I didn't want to go back, but he looked at me seriously and gently laid a hand on my forehead. A wave of warm energy poured from his palm, and despite my resistance, dizziness seized me. I fell backwards very fast, and landed in my body like in a wet sponge. This was my first recollection of astral travel and of him. During the summer of 1980, on holiday in the French Alps with my family, I was awakened one night by the purring sound of an engine in front of the house and pulsing bright lights filtering through the blinds, as if set on a horizontal ramp and descending from the sky. My mother and my granny woke up, equally terrified, and found me in the middle of the kitchen, staring at the window. It is in this precise instant that the ramp of bright pulsing lights lifted and suddenly shot off vertically. I remember my mother running to phone the police and my granny, still and calm, walking towards the window with a mysterious smile she tried to hide from me. The simple fact she seemed so calm eased the tensions in my little body and the question in my head, how did I get to the kitchen in the first place? The following morning, I woke up to the sound of agitated men's voices arguing outside. Rushing to the front door, I noticed a police car parked in front of the house, and the next door farmer, visibly annoyed, conversing with the officers. There was also a second vehicle, dark blue, parked next to the wheat field adjacent to the house. T could see from the porch where I stood that a few men in different uniforms who were apparently not from the local police, were taking photos and measurements on the field, the perimeter of which had been enclosed by a security red and white ribbon. This was for the most intriguing. When everybody left, I rushed out to meet my friend Eric, the farmer's son, a boy of my age. He explained to me that his dad was furious because he was convinced the neighbor's tractor had massacred his crops by enmity during the night. We both agreed this didn't make sense, not only because this was stupid, but because we had both seen, from our own windows, the bright pulsing lights taking off upwards, towards the sky. We then decided to go and have a discreet look at the field despite the interdictions and warnings. We sneaked under the security ribbon and made our way through the wheat, which was quite high for our size in this late August. We stopped our progression, astonished, when confronted with an unexpected clearance. The wheat had been crushed onto the ground in a discoidal pattern, and the most incredible thing was that all stems were impeccably folded flat in a spiraling pattern. We stood there, silent for a few minutes, for all words were dying in our throats before we were able to express our emotion. These lights we had seen the night before were those of a craft that came from the sky. We were pretty sure about it because there was no pathway, nor any tractor trail, was connecting to the imprint of the flattened disc in the crops. It was one of these moments in your life, when deep truths hit you to the core and shake your whole being forever. We are not alone in the universe. I know for a fact that crop circles are mostly man-made, but a very small part of them are performed by interdimensional entities using sound waves. Of course, I knew nothing about it at the time the event occurred. But this wasn't a crop circle, it was the imprint of a UFO landing. The distant shouts of someone who sounded very angry pulled us out of the trance we seemed to be under. The boy's dad had seen us going into the field and shouted at us that the police had forbidden anyone to go in until other people arrived to take more photos. We gave up and resigned to leave the location with great regret. What was it that kept us the feeling nostalgic and with a desire to remain in this strange magnetic impressum? This imprint in the wheat felt more than what it looked like, as if it was a portal of some sort towards an improbable way out of this world. A ship, from another planet, made with an extraordinary technology, had just landed there, the night before. So near, so far. Later on that day, we met a girl of our age living in the nearby farm who, very frightened, told us she had also witnessed a UFO landing in the field the prior night, and had seen tall shiny people coming out. She wouldn't say more as she was shaking with terror while she was speaking. My next memory leaps to April 1983 in Marseille, when I was 13 years old. I woke up one night, sat on my bed, facing the wall, sweating, and breathless, my heart beating very fast. I saw something that looked like a screen in the wall with images of a weird landscape, with a hill towards where people were running in haste, and red glowing spaceships coming down from the sky to rescue them. Then, this beautiful alien woman appeared very vividly in the wall in front of me. She had soft pale skin, big wide green eyes, rosy lips, her hair was blonde and straight, and she looked very serious. She was wearing a skin-tight shimmering blue uniform and a golden metallic belt with tiny devices attached to it. I drew this portrait below after this experience and all my life. Even until very recently, I couldn't open the notebook to even look at it because this drawing terrified me. I always knew, subconsciously, that if I looked at it, it would unlock a door I would rather ignore, she said to me, find Professor Jenkins in Ohio. Then suddenly, behind her, I saw like if I was flying above a deserted landscape with a series of buildings. In my later research it turned out it was Area 51, which is not in Ohio, but wait for what follows. The voice of the alien woman was repeating, "Find Professor Jenkins." Then, her face showed up again with a very imperative expression and she immediately disappeared like switching off a TV monitor. I did some research about this vision recently, and in Ohio there is a military facility well known for being involved with aliens and UFOs, Wright-Patterson USAF, in Dayton. And you will never guess. Not only is the Ohio military base related to the Roswell crash and Area 51, but a Professor Jenkins worked there at the time I was 13. I never dared or had the courage to try to contact him, even though he surely possessed some key information for me. Why me? Why him? Well, if you happen to read this, Professor, you may have the answer. In June 1983, the same orange UFO came back, hovering above the roof. Shortly after, I remember having locked myself up in my bedroom from inside, kneeling on the carpet and gluing stickers on a map of the stars. I can remember having this awkward feeling urging me to do this before I forgot. Then, the window opened and the wind blew in, and, memory blank again. I woke up laying on the floor a while later, among papers scattered by the wind, feeling this profound fright. I folded the map back and hid it to never look at it again, with fear that something horrible would happen to me if I did. Even though this was a disturbing memory, I found out recently during the hypnosis session, that I had been on board that ship and shown a holographic screen with the positions of inhabited worlds. 3 years later, when I was 16, I had a very vivid dream. The following morning, immediately after waking up, I drew in my notebook before it vanished from my memory, the inside of a spaceship and its occupants. Again, here was this beautiful young man with blonde wavy hair alongside with other crew members. On my drawing, I depicted precisely the cabin with the comfy pilot seats facing a large rectangular window where you could see the stars. It comes about as a recurrent thing in my life, that I seem to remember events that I am not supposed to, just in the minutes before the blanking process wins over. I have this very strong feeling that I am fighting against a brain fog that tries to wrap around my mind. I believe it is probably due to my natural psychic abilities inherited from my grandmother. You just don't learn to become a shaman. You are born into this existence with all your psychic abilities and it is then up to you to embrace them consciously, in order to be of service. This is how I could, and each time for a little bit longer, extend my memory like a clearance in the fog, holding away the threatening clouds of oblivion by blowing onto them with my will and determination, before they eventually close upon me. Then, once all is gone, the only remains are quick drawings and scribbled notes. Through every single dream I had in the winter of 1987, I could feel a presence trying to communicate with me. It was very vivid and I could clearly feel the difference of intensity emanating from this presence attempting to contact me. One night in March, I felt a strange tension rising in the room, and the air became electric. As I closed my eyes to try to fall asleep, strange faces appeared behind my eyelids, as if they were in my head, showing themselves to me telepathically. It was the same blonde young man with wavy hair and as well another being I had never seen before with a big prominent skull and shiny wide indigo eyes. His skin was tanned and he looked friendly. These two strange beings were looking at me and very strangely, I collapsed into sleep. I recovered consciousness within the settings of an informal dream, when I sensed again the same mysterious presence approaching. This time, it reached out to me and made contact. I was scared, of course, but I came to realize quickly that I had no reason to be. I found myself in a weird place made of organic architecture with interlaced arches and asymmetric tiles. I couldn't feel any aggressiveness coming from the being standing in front of me, although I could only see his outline in the shadow. He seemed tall and strongly built. He spoke softly in a foreign language as he emerged into view. Then his voice filtered through a translating device. My heart was struck with awe, He was the angel I saw above the clouds when I was 9 years old. It was the same person. Blonde wavy hair and beautiful blue eyes with an amazing grace about him.